You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a beautiful Thursday afternoon here in East Tennessee. Thanks for being along for the festivities today. Bear is here. Marcus Young is not here.
Get well, Marcus Young. Get well soon, son.
He's not ill. He's got a thing.
Oh. Enjoy your thing, whatever that may be.
Marcus trying to be a late entrance to the race for the Wallace Award?
The Wallace Cup? Yeah. Oh, Marcus is, that's like when you know, we've talked about this a little bit off the air. You are also in the running for the Wallace Cup.
No. I'll take exactly how many days off I'm entitled to.
You're a leave early kind of guy, though. A lot of leaving early.
Well, and I have commitments, and
yeah, I know that.
I won't leave during football season generally, but
There's only one person that works in the station that's absolutely not in the running for the Wallace Cup. That's yours truly.
Oh, you're not?
No, I'm a psychopath. I'd come in here every day.
Tucker Harlan is in for Marcus Young.
Keeping his seat warm.
Big opportunity for young Tucker Harlan from the Mid-State. Opportunity knocks. Are you nervous?
A little. A
little bit?
Maybe a little. There's some pressure to succeed.
You going to do the top four, top five?
Yes.
Do you feel a little bit like Philip Fulmer must have felt in the summer of 1992 when Johnny Majors became incapacitated with a heart condition and Coach Fulmer realized that he had an opportunity to be an interim head coach and show the world what he's got? Do you feel like this might be your opportunity to supplant Marcus Young, shove him out the door and usurp him, take his job?
Also get up on the launch pad that is The Drive.
That's harsh words there for Marcus.
It's the nature of the business.
Yeah, I'm ready for the opportunity.
Whoa. Marcus Young would be scrambling in here late all of a sudden. Guys, my thing ended early. I'm back. I should be good for the top four.
I'll take Marcus's here. Get out of my chair.
Big show lined up this afternoon. Christopher Gabriel coming up here in just a few moments. Looking forward to that. He is with me, as most of you are, I believe. My take on the Lindsey Nelson Stadium renovations, I think this needs to be expedited. I am frustrated with the lack of progress, the lack of communication from the university on this issue. I would like to know more specifically what we can expect to see coming into next season, and I would like for that to be substantial, not just a little bit. I don't want to hear about kicking the can down the road and five-year plans and things like this. So CG will get up with me. Not everybody is on that board, Bear. I was hearing from one person in particular.
Last night on
Twitter, it was
saying, I saw it.
Didn't know what we're talking about and stating untruths and all this. And
I took that. I read the first tweet. I was like, he's really going after my guy, but you know, Russell's a big boy. I'll let him handle it. And then, in one of his replies, he referenced your co-hosts.
Look, it's fine.
That's why I kind of took it personally. I don't feel like we were throwing out half-truths. We all know it. We've all seen it.
You can disagree all you want. All I know is this. Tony Vitello exploded onto the scene in 2021. And he will tell anybody that'll listen that his 2020 team, who had their season canceled, was capable of making the College World Series as well. So maybe we missed out. Maybe we were a year late to the college baseball party. But whatever it is, 2021 was the year that we all caught college baseball fever and realized that our stadium was woefully out of date woefully lacking in capacity and just in general need of a complete overhaul. So that was over 2 years ago that we realized that pretty early on in the 2021 season. And for about a year or so, we had a big conversation about stadium expansion. And at the end of last season, roughly a year ago, Danny White and his administration released the plan, the great artist renderings, and started taking deposits, donations to make that plan a reality. We haven't heard anything other than vague generalities since then. And this week, we missed out on a chance to host the regional. Now, I understand that maybe the plan that we saw last year, there's no way it could have come to fruition immediately in time for this season. I get that. But I would like assurances that what happened this week is not going to happen again, that we're not going to lose out on a super regional to a school like Southern Miss or, you know, no offense, any Sun Belt school.
Yeah, no.
And I just wonder, man, because I don't like what I'm hearing behind the scenes. And I'm not hearing anything definitive, but that's part of what I don't like. I would like to hear something definitive. But I've heard there's not much going to happen after this season, that they're just going to be focusing on some foundation work, and maybe you'll see a little something down the right field line. To me, that's unacceptable. To me, that's unacceptable. We need a vast expansion of capacity before next season begins. We've got plenty of time. The season is over. There aren't any more college baseball games scheduled for Lindsey Nelson. They should be working on it right now. I don't like this. Well, we've got a tournament scheduled, and move the tournament. We've been talking about this for 2 years, and now you're telling me that we might not have substantial progress for another year, really? Over 3 years we're going to have to wait to do this? If this were football, it would never happen. I don't want to hear about the government red tape. I don't want to hear about Nashville. I don't want to hear about the road that has to be moved. You can expedite the process. We have a very politically connected university system president. Calls can be made. Wheels can be greased. Progress can happen. And Tony Vitello's earned it, man. He's waiting around. He ain't going to wait forever. I'm not trying to sound the alarm button. I don't think he's going to leave. I think he's comfortable with where things are at. But I'm not.
I mean, they've been talking about the down the right field line thing. I feel like that's a line they've been feeding us for a couple of years now. And we started to get a glimmer of this in 2019. And then COVID interrupted. Like, 2019 baseball season, I think we saw a few flashes that year.
Yeah, they went to the NCAA tournament. It was kind of a surprise, played in North Carolina. And I remember thinking, man, like, North Carolina Stadium is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I remember thinking that. Is Bosmer Field, Bosmer Stadium over there? Like,
and I think that gave us our first taste of, like,
it's like, whoa.
This is kind of cool to have a team in this thing.
Well, and it's also like, how is North Carolina's ballpark so much better than ours? We really need to. So really, we've been talking about this for 5 years.
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, we talked about it at the end of Serrano, and then when Tony came in, and then when did you start having him on? Or when did we start having him on?
Oh, we always had him on.
We had him on his first year. A lot.
We started having him on regularly in 2020.
Yeah. And then COVID and the canceled season, we continued having him on.
Yeah, he would.
He came on
because he was just bored.
Yeah, everybody was bored.
Nobody knew who he was. We just wanted to kick it with us. But we'll talk to CG about that coming up here in just a few minutes. Logan Quinton will stop by in hour number two. He's bringing some Crumble cookies.
I've already looked ahead at the Crumble website.
Bear's neuroticism will build slowly over the course of the next hour until he's in a full-fledged panic.
Nope, not going to do it today. By
the time Logan gets here with the I mean, Bear won't even know which way is up. He'll be like that deer yesterday.
That's
going absolutely crazy.
I'm going to shut this thing off if you keep playing this.
Smashed!
Let's hear from Tony Vitello on the Super Regional. Tony, meeting with the media earlier today over on the campus of the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. The Volunteers are heading out here, maybe as we speak, I believe this afternoon, for Hattiesburg to get down there a little bit earlier and acclimate to the conditions. Here is Coach talking about the Super Regionals.
You know, you get to this time of year, and we've seen it, whether it be in Lindsey Nelson Stadium or this last weekend. Fortunately, I've coached long enough, Frank has too. You get to this time of year, no one is not going to be pouring their heart and soul out onto the field. You can come up with whatever set of circumstances you want for coaches, players, fan bases. Everyone's going to give it their best go. And it is a baseball game, so there's a lot of crazy things that can happen. So really, whatever competitive edge you're looking for, it's got to be based off what your team has become throughout the year. And there were some teams last year that served as good examples for us now of, hey, maybe the quickest path or best path from A to B isn't a straight line. And for us, there's no way it's been a straight line. So I think whether we're playing in Hoover, Clemson at home, you know, we finished the year in South Carolina. It's kind of our zigzag path, ups and downs, roller coaster, whatever it's been throughout this year is who we are. So stay true to who we are. And who we are is a group of guys that are pretty capable when we're playing our best or close to it. But throwing out the word best is ironic because I don't think we've necessarily found that yet, especially over the course of a complete weekend.
Kind of like that sentiment, and I agree with him, man. I don't think this team has peaked yet. I think they're playing their best baseball. I think that last weekend was their best. No errors in three games. Pretty steady offensive production. Three really quality starts, bordering on dominant starts from their starting pitching. Quality outings from the bullpen. Like I think it's starting to come together, but I also believe that there's another level that this team can reach. It's like I've been talking about my Braves for a while now.
Right.
Where it's like, they're on top of their division. I think they have the best record in the National League right now. But if you watch the games, they're not playing great. They're a flawed team. And lately, if you've been watching this series against – I'm sorry, I could barely say it with a straight face – the New York Mets – like you see it, it's like Harris is starting to hit, Ozuna's starting to hit, like you're starting to get guys healthy. Like it's coming together. You could see, okay, they're doing well now, but there's this other level that they can get to that they're going to have to get to if they want to win a World Series again. So I feel kind of the same way about the Vols right now. It's like, yeah, they're playing good enough to make the College World Series. If they want to win that thing, and I think they can with their pitching, I think they have that kind of potential. So do a lot of other teams. But if they want to win the College World Series, they're going to have to continue to kick it up a notch and continue to build every time we see them. I think they're playing at a level that's perfectly fine to get to Omaha right now. But if you want to truly do damage when you're there, you got to – you know, we got Burke's going to have to snap out of it. You're going to have to get a little bit more production from Cal Stark. Maui and Inslee are going to have to, you know, be a little bit more consistent at the plate. It all has to come together all at the same time. And I think they can do it, but it's not quite there yet. Does that make sense? I'm not complaining.
Oh,
I'm
no.
just saying.
That does.
We're setting our goals at the very tip-top highest point right now.
Yeah. And, I mean, you hit on everything was running through my head. I was like, if we're going to win it, Burke can't be in a slump. We aren't going to – I don't think – I can't figure out a way that we're going to be able to win a College World Series without him, you know, having some kind of offensive production consistently. I mean, it doesn't have to be like it was last year. The only other thing that worries me about, especially about when we face – who's their ace – what's the kid's name?
Tanner Hall.
Tanner Hall feasts on guys that like to swing at first pitches.
Be patient.
It's going to be a
patience
big
grasshopper.
Thing. Yeah.
We're not known for our patience. Sometimes they are patient, though. I think that's when they typically do well.
When you have a lot of success.
Yes.
And when we've been at our best as a baseball program the past few years, you think back when we really get on a roll and just start crushing people is when we're being incredibly patient.
We will be patient as we summon Christopher Gabriel. Stay with us. The drive continues, just scratching the surface on a Thursday afternoon. It's Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Thursday afternoon edition of the show. Russell Smith cruising with you here on the drive. Baron Tucker Harlan sitting in for Marcus here today as we go to the phones for the first time. And Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno, standing by. Good afternoon, CG. How are you, sir?
Russ, I'm doing great, my man. I hope you guys are doing well there. It's Bear and I were just talking about the temperatures in both in Knoxville and here in Central California. It has not gotten unbearably insufferable yet, but that is certainly around the corner.
It sounds like that might be what Tennessee's encountering down in Hattiesburg this week. Yeah. They got that 93-degree high temperature with real thick Southern Gulf Coast humidity. That's a thick, sticky heat. If you've ever been down there, CG.
I have been to, well, you know, it was funny because I've been to Mississippi a number of times. It started, my first trip was years ago. That was one of the schools that recruited me for basketball, Ole Miss. And I've been to Hattiesburg once. It took me, and I mean, I'm not being flippant, you know. I mean, I took me probably, I don't know, 90 seconds to get through the town. But it sure is a good thing that the NCAA selection committee decided to go to Hattiesburg, the metropolis of Hattiesburg, instead of Knoxville.
Yeah, it's sticking in a lot of folks' craw this week up here in Big Orange Country, and rightfully so, CG. You know, you and I have talked about this for years. We are sports aesthetics enthusiasts, and Lindsey Nelson Stadium, you know, we've been talking about redoing it, expanding it, renovating it for several years now, and still really not much has happened. It's kind of frustrating, CG, when you're sitting here at an SEC school. You were in the College World Series 2 years ago. You should have been there last year. You might go there this year. And you're missing out on a super regional because Southern Miss from the Sun Belt has a bigger stadium than you.
Yeah. Boy, there's a lot to unpack with this subject, and I'm glad we're talking about it today. And by the way, hello to all your great listeners in East Tennessee, God's country, and the rest of the Southeast, and Hattiesburg, too. yeah, there's a lot to go with here. Let's start with Danny White. You know, when Danny White got hired, for those who have never heard me on your show, you had me on the next day, and I was and remain all in for Danny White. I think he is the best athletic director in the country. He thinks progressively. He's cutting edge. He is a go-getter. A lot of folks don't think that he goes to bat for UT in any kind of a, I'll put it in quotes, crisis situation. But that's the public Danny White. Privately, don't be fooled. Danny White is an attack dog. Having said that, I don't like where I've seen the five-year rollout for Lindsey Nelson Stadium. When I saw that, I went around and I looked at the new ballparks or renovated ballparks in the SEC, and I looked at Kentucky, Florida, Auburn, which is, you know, their place is beautiful, but it's been around for a few years. Certainly the renovations at Mississippi State, LSU, when they rebuilt that, when they built the new Alex Box, and then looked at a couple of other ones. I looked at Texas and looked at Arkansas Baumwalker. Every one of those stadiums, every one of them, whether it was a renovation or a rebuild or a new build, took 2 years or less. Then you throw in what I put on social media recently. If you've been to SoFi, even outside, you know that SoFi Stadium in Inglewood in Los Angeles is an absolute palace. 70,000 seats. It cost $5 billion to build. It took them 3.5 years to build that stadium. For the Lindsey Nelson Stadium, for them to say 5 years, it's inexcusable. It's not acceptable under any circumstances. This is a baseball program, and you said this to me privately. Certainly, it's not privileged. I'll say it publicly, that Tony Vitello deserves a much faster rollout of these renovations. He has earned that. This program has earned that. From a practical standpoint, for recruiting, Tennessee is going to get beaten badly for recruits sooner or later, because kids today, and I say kids, you know, young men today, 18 to 22-year-olds, 17-year-olds, one of the things that is even more pressing on their minds and on their families' minds now are the facilities. Where am I going to play? How much am I going to be on TV? What's the practice facility like? And so on. Tennessee is in the lower half, and it's going to continue to be in the lower half. These renovations have to start. They have to be happening quicker. I don't know why they're not happening right now. And you mentioned this, if it was football, they'd have 15 cranes over at Neyland, and they'd be all over this. It has to happen faster. They've got money put aside for it. And I'll tell you this, and you and I may disagree on this, Russ. The plans that I've seen, and they were the first ones. I don't know if there's updated ones. Those are nice. They're really nice. But look, as somebody who has been to all those ballparks, I haven't been to the new Florida park, but I've been to most every SEC baseball park. The new plans, they're nice, but they're not better than what Tennessee is going to be going up against. And I believe when you look at what we have on this campus, you look at the cathedral that is Neyland Stadium. I don't care if you're talking Notre Dame, Michigan. I don't care where you're talking. Neyland Stadium takes a back seat to no one. The pool, the swimming complex, gorgeous. The track stadium, granted, it's not Oregon. What is? But it's a fine facility. Thompson Bowling, with all the renovations, I don't think Thompson Bowling takes a back seat to anyone. Granted, it's not an intimate little venue like Cameron. What is? But the point being, baseball deserves a first-class, exquisite, exemplary facility. And, Russ, we don't have that right now. We're not going to have it soon enough.
No, it's frustrating. And, you know, they've got, you know, you could be working on it right now, CG. And yeah. I've heard of it. Well, you know, they've got this tournament scheduled over there and a recruiting venue. And you've got all this stuff going on. We got to go to the government. And there's a lot of red tape that has to be. And I'm just like, CG, the thing I keep coming back to, and a couple of people were ripping me on Twitter for this last night. It's okay. I stand by it. If this were football, somebody would be down there greasing the wheels, you know, a backroom deal in a smoke-filled room or something, and it would happen tomorrow. You know it, not know it.
Russ, right, that's what I just said. There'd be 15 cranes around the exterior of Neyland, and I've seen the people ripping you, and I've had some private rips to me, too, and I stand by it as well. I mean, listen, we're all on the same page. We all want Tennessee baseball to have a first-class facility. Having different opinions, nothing wrong with that. What I would argue with people of offense who think otherwise is, well, what is acceptable to you? Why is 5 years acceptable to you when, as I said a moment ago, and I'll repeat it, when Florida and Kentucky can build brand-new stadiums? Not that long ago, Texas built a new stadium. Texas A&M built a new stadium. How did these universities that we compete with and will compete with, how did they get facilities built that fast and Tennessee can't figure it out? If you can't figure it out, here's a thought. Don't start sucking money from fans and reserving your seats and reserving your box and reserving your parking space. Don't start being a Hoover vacuum and taking dollar bills, $10 bills, 20s, hundreds from everybody if you don't have a plan set to roll out for 5 years.
Christopher Gabriel with us, KMJ Fresno. All right, we're going to switch subject here before I get redneck mad, as we say here, CG. But we got this baseball. We'll talk Tennessee baseball here in just a second. I want to get your thoughts on the other big news story of the day in college athletics. Notre Dame's Jack Swarbrick stepping down, their athletics director. And somebody had sent this to me, and I saw it, and I thought the reason they were sending it to me is because we have speculated on the air many times that, you know, Danny White is doing a great job here, as you alluded to. Fans love him. Finally, some stability for this athletics department. And the one job that people have speculated that he might be interested in leaving Tennessee for, other than some sort of conference commissioner gig, would be Notre Dame. I believe he got his undergrad there. And I sent this to you, and immediately, CG, I started panicking. I just sent it to you without even reading the rest of the tweet or the article that said they had already hired his replacement. So I guess we could breathe a sigh of relief. And I don't even have to ask you to talk me off the ledge, CG.
No, you know, I know the whole A to Z on that story, and you and I talked off air, and just a couple of thoughts about this. And this is one of my primary angles here. I think we as Tennessee fans, I think everybody has had, take the parallel being COVID. Everybody has had BVS, battered vowel syndrome. Now, we have found our way through COVID, through the worst of it. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people around this country that are suffering with, and Dr. Maurice at Mayo Clinic, my friend, your friend, has talked about this quite often. Dr. Maurice, of course, has worked with both the Trump administration and the Biden administration, so he's not a party guy. We've talked about the realities of long COVID. Russ, I'm going to tell you, the reality of long BVS is real. I think a lot of people really think that, wow, what? The first thing we do, we hire somebody, is, why, is he going to leave? Is he going to leave? I think it's time that collectively we stop thinking about how soon is it going to be before somebody leaves. You know, when Oklahoma needed a new football coach, one person I know came on your show and said, everybody just stop talking about it. I forget what your position was, but you were what mine was. Josh Heupel's not going anywhere. Josh Heupel's not going back to Oklahoma. Just everybody stop with that. And he didn't go back, and he's not going back. Danny White, he may have always wanted that Notre Dame job, but sometimes you get a job that you didn't think you were going to get in any career, and that becomes the job. It becomes the job that you say to yourself and your family, I love it here. I love what we're doing. In this case, I love this fan base. We can be happy here. And I would add this. When you think about all Vols fans, and I'm including you in this, I'm including Bear, I'm including myself, when we talk about, well, you know, so-and-so might leave, so-and-so might leave. In the last 30 years, how many coaches have left Tennessee? Lane Kiffin left. Tell me who else left. Either they left on, either assistant coaches left to get a head coaching job, or they got pushed out or fired because they did something wrong, or they didn't do enough in the win column. But we have not seen in the last three decades coaches just up and leaving Tennessee. It just hasn't been the case. So I think we tend to forget because we see all of the imperfections, right? We follow Tennessee on a day-to-day basis. We see all, you know, all the blips on the radar, as it were. And so for others that look at this program and look at this overall athletic program, they realize that this is a destination program, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, whatever the case may be, certainly women's basketball, this is a destination school. Not just as a reminder for everybody there, I'm giving you the view from outside. And there's a young lady not too far from here who goes to my daughter's high school who was offered a swimming scholarship, and you know, the family decked the house out in orange. So for the view from outside Knoxville is a city that people love to go to, they love to visit. I know that a lot of people want to say otherwise, but it's true. Tennessee is a wonderful university. Dondi Plowman and administrations over the last 10 years or so have gotten the school academically better and better and better. Now we have an athletic director that virtually every school in the country at any level would love to have. We have facilities that are as good as any in the country. Tennessee is a destination. Danny White is not going anywhere. And you know what? If he does, more power to him. We wish him well, and we get somebody new. But until then, I think we need to focus our collective energy on the fact that he is in Knoxville. He is Tennessee's athletic director. Josh Heupel is Tennessee's coach. Rick Barnes is the coach. Tony Vitello is the coach. They're not going anywhere. I don't know where these rumors start. Somebody in his basement somewhere with a six-pack and an ashtray says, oh, you know what I heard? I heard from Jim, who talked to Tony, who talked to Bill, and then he talked to the cousin and said, Danny's leaving. No, he's not leaving. Of course, now that I said all this, we'll find out he's leaving tomorrow. But I think we're safe.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I hope not. You know, the Notre Dame thing, that was that's interesting. I mean, I don't know if you would call that a step up. It just depends on where you're from, right? If you went there, if you're a Midwest person, yeah, you probably view Notre Dame as being a more prestigious job than Tennessee. But for some people who might have been from the South, or if you're a UT grad or something, you probably it's just, you know, everybody's different, and we have different things that we like. But yeah, Notre Dame's already hired from a guy from NBC right. who evidently helped the Big Ten negotiate their deal over there, which leads me to my next question, CG. Now that Notre Dame has this guy, you know, there's already some rumblings. The guy who alerted me to this story, a friend of mine, Jeff here in Knoxville, big Notre Dame fan, said immediately, now that this guy is taking over, you watch, Notre Dame will be going to the Big Ten.
Well, before I answer that, there was one thing you said that I wanted to address. And I think the Notre Dame, whether you appreciate the level of the job or not, listen, I grew up 89 miles away. I grew up in Chicago. And contrary to popular myth, I mean, I was born and raised there. Contrary to popular myth, everybody in Chicago, even though they're, call it 90 miles away, is not a Notre Dame fan. You either love them or you hate them. It's a great university. It's a beautiful campus. Obviously, a prestigious school. But I don't think it carries the aura that it once did. But leading into your question, I think that it would be foolish for Notre Dame to continue as an independent. And a couple of reasons for that. Number one, as this college football playoff rolls out, it will be easier for them to find a spot in the 12 invitations. It just will. I don't care who you are as an independent. It's just going to be tougher. That's number one. Number two, I don't know how much NBC would still be willing to pay Notre Dame for their home schedule in light of the money that's being thrown around by other networks. I just don't know that I think if I'm Notre Dame, I'm seeing the numbers being thrown around, and for the Big Ten, they could command a much higher rights fee with Notre Dame in the conference. The fact that Notre Dame is in the ACC for everything but football, it is long overdue for them to join the Big Ten. I don't know. Again, growing up in the proximity of the Golden Dome, I know that they've always felt they had the fact that they had their schedule, they could do what they want with it. There was a certain elitism to it. I get it completely. But the fact that they have these wonderful alliances with Navy and with Air Force and they, you know, they'll play a non-conference. They used to have Michigan. Michigan's not there anymore. I just think that it's time for Notre Dame to evolve. And granted, your friend and others who are Notre Dame fans would say, well, CG, you're not a Notre Dame guy. You don't understand this. And to a certain extent, they would be right about that. But looking at this from the largesse of college football, the sport has evolved on the field. The sport has evolved on television sets. Notre Dame is not evolving, and it's time that they join. I never understood why they and Michigan didn't continue their great rivalry. It's time for them to join the family, so to speak. And I think the fact that you're getting this individual, you know, with a lengthy TV background running Notre Dame's athletic department, I would agree with your friend, and I would agree with a lot of other people that I've heard today throughout the morning saying that now may be the time. And I think before the 12-team playoff, I think we may see that, Russ.
Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno, our guest here this afternoon. CG, as we start to wrap up here with you, Tennessee baseball, let's end where we began. Headed down to Hattiesburg, the sprawling metropolis of Hattiesburg, Mississippi, to take on the Southern Miss Golden Eagles. You got to go where they say you got to go, CG. It's an interesting team, Southern Miss. You don't get this far without being pretty good and perfectly capable of beating anyone. How do you see this shaking out this weekend?
Well, they are a good team. And, you know, the fact is we can move past the bid going to them, and we already talked about that. When you get right down to the field part of it, you know, they didn't exactly play a murderer's row schedule, and they had a very good record. But when you start breaking down the teams that they played over the course of the year, you know, Dallas Baptist is a fantastic baseball program. They swept them, but then they played Texas State, and they lost 2 of 3. They've comparable pitching, but not as good as the Vols pitching. Comparable hitting. I think the Vols have more power. It seems to me just by the numbers alone that in terms of anything outside of home runs, Old Miss, Southern Miss has a little bit more. I said this to you a few months ago, and after I said it to you, I thought maybe I was just nuts. You remember I said I was not upset. I would not be upset if the Vols had to go and not host a regional, not host a super regional, just go on the road, get away from Knoxville, because I thought that might help them. And then they went out and, you know, kept losing on the road, but I still held to that going into the regional. And sure enough, they went to Clemson, and, you know, they took down Charlotte pretty easily in a couple games. And that Clemson game was one of the all-time great baseball games in college baseball, I think, ever. I think this team, I hope I don't come back to rue these words, but I think this team has finally gotten it together. And I don't think it matters to them where they play. You got to win, too, whether they're playing in Fresno, in Fargo, in Duluth, in Clemson, in Knoxville, or in Hattiesburg, the sprawling metropolis of Hattiesburg. You got to win, too. And I think the big advantage for the Vols in this series is the pitching is elite. And if they go out there on Saturday and Sunday and they do, our staff does what they can do, I would be stunned if we saw a repeat of last year where the Vols end up losing a super regional. Listen, I maybe I'm being a homer here, but as objective as I can see, that's a good baseball team in Hattiesburg. They're not as good as the Vols, and if the Vols do what they should do, they will win, and I think they will sweep.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun series to watch this weekend. You know, we were talking before you jumped on here, CG, and I'm with you. I think Tennessee's peaking at the right time. But I said, I do think there's another level this team can get to. I think they're playing their best baseball. No errors last week was great. Winning on the road was great. Clutch hitting, Christian Moore going on a tear. A lot to like. And it's fine, right? If they don't come out of this weekend, it's not the end of the world. It's a pretty good season, but getting to Omaha would be a great season. And then if you do some damage in Omaha to have that excellent season, there's another level you have to get to. They're doing fine right now, but I think there's another level that they can get to particularly if Maui, Ahuna, and Blake Burke start hitting like we all know they're capable of hitting. I think if those two things happen, all of a sudden, Katie bar the door. This thing could go anywhere.
I think you're absolutely right, because the one piece that's been missing on a consistent basis this year is what we saw last year. And granted, listen, different team, different faces, we get all that. But I think what we've been missing is that moment where suddenly these guys, at any given moment, they drop 7, 8, 9 runs on you. We've seen it now and then. We haven't seen it consistently. And for me, Russ, that's the next level that this team can get to, and I think should get to, and it would not surprise me if it happens down there. And I do think that, you know, Tony is a great coach. He's a great strategist. You know, and I know that publicly he'll say the right things. He has said the right things. Privately, he is working this nonsensical give the bid to Hattiesburg angle. He is working this every chance he gets, and you know what? He should work it every chance he can get, and these guys should come out. I emphasize the word should. They should come out breathing fire, chewing ice, and just taking apart anything in gold and black.
Nice. CG, we appreciate it, my man. Have a great weekend. I'm sure we'll be chatting during these ball games.
Right on, man. Great to be on with you. Love you guys, and go Vols.
Love you too, brother. Christopher Gabriel at CG Program. Go follow him on Twitter at CG Program, representing the orange and white out there in beautiful Fresno, California.
California. He's very passionate. Very passionate. Wears his heart on his sleeve kind of a guy.
It's never difficult to figure out exactly where he stands.
No. He's very good at our it's one of the things I admire about him. He's very articulate.
Yes.
Yes.
Stay with us. The drive continues. That helps when you work in radio, I find.
Yeah, especially if your show is you and only you.
Speaking into a microphone, it helps to
by yourself
be able to speak well. Stay tuned. It is The Drive. It is Fan Run Radio. Open up the phone lines. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Your number to get on board. Stay with us. The drive continues. Back with more right after this.
Oh, hey,
Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Thursday afternoon edition of the show. Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno. Bear, what did you learn?
He's definitely more heated than, I don't know if heated's the right word. The deal with the stadium, I agree with pretty much everything he says. I don't know. He's so blunt about it. Like, he does support. I know he's a huge Danny White supporter.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he definitely thinks we need to get some stuff done.
I don't know that it's necessarily a Banner Dan thing. Like, he's plays his cards close to the vest when he's in public, and you know, any interview he does on State Run is very button down. They're not going to press him too hard on any of this stuff. I don't know that it's his. But like, again, if what I would like to see is, you know, Randy Boyd is A, the system president, so he's the head honcho of all this stuff. B, he's politically connected. He ran for governor. Like, he knows all those people in Nashville. And C, he's a baseball guy. He owns a baseball team. He's building a stadium in downtown Knoxville right now. He's the perfect guy to kind of spearhead this thing. And, would be the guy I think could get in a back room somewhere in the state capitol and say, hey, I know traditionally – we have to ask this committee, and then they have to have a meeting and have a feasibility study, and then it goes to another meeting and another committee. Like, I know that's traditionally how it works, but what do we have to do to make it happen now? Because we need to have, like, this is the State University of Tennessee, and it's kind of important. We need to expedite this.
I'll just point out, everybody thought it was crazy when I said it, but, I mean, this is what you get when you've got an Auburn grad as a governor. We've got a Barner running our state.
Oh, now that escalated quickly. All of a sudden, it
has nothing to do with left or right.
It's Bill Lee's fault that Tennessee's playing in Hattiesburg Skippy. This weekend.
Yeah. Hell yeah, you go all the way to the top. This has been an Auburn conspiracy between Bill Lee.
Biden in it.
And the University of Auburn. The Illuminati. That Cohen guy down there. It's been a total, just beautifully executed.
The Pope.
Just kill shot. Prince orchestrated Harry. By the University of Auburn Athletic Department. Yeah, I'm on to something here. We've got a Barner as our governor, man. How does that happen in Tennessee? How do we elect somebody that graduated from Auburn?
This is a good point. You know, in future elections, I would appreciate it if they would remove the R or the D next to the candidate's name and instead replace it with where they went to college.
Exactly.
I feel like that's a much better gauge of a candidate's worthiness, merit, and intention, I believe, than what political party they belong
to. It's not any worse than what we have now. I think it gives you a better indication of what you're dealing with. You know what you're getting if you look down there underneath that candidate's name and it said Bama. You know what you were getting.
Roll down tide.
If it said Auburn.
So you would let this candidate's school, alma mater, impact your voting. You do let this candidate's school and alma mater impact how you vote.
At the state level, yeah.
At the state level?
Yeah.
What about the local level?
Local?
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much everybody in local politics is usually pretty local for the most part.
Do you know where Mayor Kincannon or Mayor Kane went to school?
Have no clue. Kane, I think, graduated from that WWE Development Academy, didn't he? Or he came through Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So, yeah, I mean, he's lived here for a good portion of his life in East Tennessee, his adult life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any idea where he's from. Burchett's from Sequoia Hills.
He went to UT, right?
Yeah.
My uncle was in the same graduating class with him at Bearden.
I feel like everybody went to Bearden in those days. I meet so many people. It's like, oh, yeah.
I was supposed to go
I went to Bearden with, like, Tim Burchett and Bertelkamp and like all those old West Knoxville football guys.
Yeah. Well, because Bearden was basically the West Knoxville High School, and then, of course, you had Farragut.
Farragut was farms. Just, yeah, utter farmland, like just the
Dude,
hills.
When I was a little kid, it pretty much ended after Walker Springs. I mean, when I'm talking when I was, like, really little.
You know what they say, Loudon's the new Farragut.
Yeah.
Shout out to Davey Hudson.
And then I remember when Cedar Bluff was, you know, getting pretty far out there. Lovell Road felt like you were taking a trip halfway to Chattanooga.
Yep.
So.
865-546-8200. That was – my heart did skip a beat. You know me. I'm a worrier. When my friend Jeff sent me the tweet that Jack Swarbrick was stepping down at Notre Dame, I'm so you know, one track minded.
Yeah.
And I was doing a billion different things. I had no intention of stopping to actually read the article. Not only did I not read the article, I didn't even read the full tweet that he sent me. And so all I saw was Swarbrick stepping down, and my mind immediately goes to, that's the job Danny White always wanted. And I just, like, in a panic.
What are you gonna do? Go throw yourself in front of his car so he couldn't leave the complex?
I don't know, man. Like, I don't know that I want him to stay that. Like, I'm not as high on Danny White as some people are. I think he's done a fine job. I don't think it's the end of the world if he leaves.
No.
I think what the biggest downside to that would be just the lack of stability, because we've had revolving doors and all, like we talked about yesterday, and just having the same people in those power offices for an extended period of time is calming everything down around here, which is a good thing.
Yeah, to me, it's kind of like, I'm not saying I'm right there with you on him, but I don't want to take any of these pieces that seem to be working so well together. You want to take any piece of it out.
Yeah, that's how I feel. And so the second part was that they've got this guy who is an NBC chairman who's already there, or he's coming there to kind of – they're going to have one of those transitions.
NBC?
Yeah. Yeah, which is interesting, isn't it?
They've got a historically very, very close relationship with the university.
Yeah.
NBC's made a ton of money off university. That's been a mutually beneficial part of their partnership over the years. Damn, that's a big brand. It is, as much as we all – I mean, I love beating them in everything and love hating them, but –
Who do you worry about leaving the most? We all worry about Heupel leaving the most, but who do you think is most likely to leave? And I don't think any of these folks are necessarily likely to leave. But out of Heupel, Danny White, Vitello, I don't think Barnes is going anywhere.
He's going to retire from here.
Who do you think would be most likely to jump?
To jump, or could I see?
It feels like Danny White is kind of the least tied. Heupel's really embraced it. Vitello's really embraced it. I think White's embraced it, but not maybe to the extent that those other two have.
Well, I think it's because I think both Vitello and Heupel both realize that they're at a place at a perfect time where if they end up and they're successful here, money's not going to be better just about anywhere else. And you're at a place where, more than likely, if you're successful for about 10-15 year run, you might get a damn statue made of you and a stadium named after you. And outlive, you know, will long out your reputation and your record will long outlive you.
Yeah, I mean, I think Vitello's really embraced. I think he just really likes living here.
Being built Tennessee baseball.
Being the guy, you know, we've paid him. The only thing that's missing is the stadium. I think that's coming, although it's not as fast as we would like. But I think he really enjoys it. And, you know, for the first time this year, there was some of that, like, what are you doing, man? Why are you pulling? And, like, he handled all that in stride. Didn't seem to bother him in the least. And so he's got thick skin.
Yeah, he's got thick skin, but at the same time, he is still a little bit hot tempered, like people around these parts.
Yeah, we like that.
Be.
Fits in well.
Yeah, like with him, I know you've got that whole problem you have with the fit, but personality wise, he's a really good fit for this fan base. Little loony.
A little out of control himself sometimes.
Yeah. You were a little out of line last year, Coach.
Stay with us. The drive continues. All right. The moment of truth arises. Young Tucker Harlan will take his first stab at the top four at four when we continue. Are you nervous, Tucker?
Yeah, it's starting to build up a little bit.
Just relax, breathe. You got this.
You
I have faith in you.
I mean, my God, you couldn't be any worse than when I did it.
Oh! Stay with us. The drive continues. Hour number two coming up.